Yes, I have a lot of stuff. You wouldn't think so now, but I'm dressed to go to work. I
No.
never wear anything when I work. You know, the thing is that it's how you wear anything. You know, guys can wear anything. And the lovely thing I used to love about jazz guys, they looked like they didn't put them on, they wore them. Fred Astaire always said that, you know, I don't like new things, actually. I'm not a great lover.
Well, Charlie, I better let you get back to
And
work.
you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I really
No, it's
enjoyed
been
that.
great. I mean, I
Great.
hope I haven't gone on too
No,
much.
not at all. I mean, I wish, you know, I do the show on radio too,
Yes.
where if you ever fancy coming in, we could play records and we could
Yeah,
listen, we
no,
could,
I'd
we, you
love
know,
that.
and we could actually talk, we don't have to talk about anything to do with your band or anything. We can just talk about like some of your favorite records and kind of
Yeah.
sit there and just do it on the radio, and that could be.
Thank you. It's cold and I'm so all alone. I'd give my soul just to call you my own. Got a moon above me, but no one to love me. Love a man, no way.
Brian Lennon on the piano, Dave Green on the bass, Gerard Presencia on the trumpet, Bernard Fowler on vocals, and Peter King on the alto saxophone, and the strings and the wind, Charlie Watts on the bass.
Zwaar verlies, want ik hoopte echt dat volgend jaar zijn de Stones 60 jaar samen. En dat gaat nu niet gebeuren. En dat vind ik heel erg verdrietig. Het is natuurlijk de Stones, daar hoort Charlie Watts bij.
Charlie, we love you.
The entertainment sector was jolted this morning by news of the death of legendary record producer and singer Lee Scratch Perry. Born Renford Hugh Perry, Scratch Perry reportedly died this morning at the Noel Holmes Hospital in Hanover. He was 85 years old. He was noted for his innovative studio techniques and production style. Perry was a pioneer in the 1970s development of dub music, with his early adoption of remixing and studio effects to create new instrumental or vocal versions of existing reggae tracks. His Upsetta label produced some memorable reggae songs, including Small Axe and Dopey Conqueror by the Wailers. He's also won the Grammy Award for Best Reggae Album.
Shot. All I've done for you, you don't remember. Junior Mervyn, Upsetters and the Heptones all rehearse here.
Scratch's real name is Lee Perry. He regards all the greats, including Bob Marley. Even Paul McCartney is coming here from England, because Scratch has a sound and a rhythm of his own. He calls it rockers. When Scratch begins a session, first he balances drum and bass for the basic rhythm. Ghetto music, always drum and bass. Then Scratch will balance all the other instruments till he's ready to start recording. When the balance is right, the Upsetters lay down the rhythm track. That's how reggae is recorded.
Let's go. One, two. One, two, three, four.
Though there seems to be no kind of order or discipline, Scratch knows exactly what he wants, and the musicians respect that.
One, two, three, four.
People's standards, the instruments may sound distorted, the balance way off, but it's just these rough edges that give reggae the kind of raw sound they can never copy abroad. When Scratch is happy with the rhythm, he'll get Junior Mervyn and the Heptones to put the vocals on. Rhythm and then lyrics. That's how Scratch describes reggae. Rhythm from the ghetto, lyrics from the streets.
Yes, Rasta.
Play on, Mr. Music. Play on.
Won't you?
Play on, Mr. Music. Play on.
There's a chalice is burning, the jammers are rolling.
Company, Blackhawk International and Branch, present, all been going around, all you see.
control. Always lose control. Some always lose their soul. But silver and gold. And show me your beastly paws. We had to then do another.
I took an express subway train from Times Square to Chambers Street, which is the stop just before the World Trade Center. The first thing I saw was the two World Trade Centers, both of them, had smoke and fire coming from them. I just started making my pictures. I was photographing the burning building when EMT says, oh my gosh, look at that. And we started seeing people coming down out of the building. I instinctively picked up my camera and started photographing them, following them as they came down, until I photographed what must become known as the Falling Man. It's a very quiet photograph. It's not like a lot of other violent photographs from other disasters. There's no blood, there's no guts, there's nobody getting shot. But people react to it in a way that they feel that they can relate to this photograph, that they might have been in the same situation and they might have had to make whatever choice the man in the photograph made. You You have to be very aware of your surroundings when you're in a situation like this. You have to be careful that you don't become a victim. Journalists don't run away from a falling building. We don't run away from the fire. We run to it because it's our job to record history. I didn't know I had that photograph of that man in that position until I actually saw it on my computer when I got back to the office. I called one of our photo editors and I showed him the picture. I said, this is it. This has got to be the picture. This man was like an arrow bisecting the two World Trade Centers. I woke up the next morning and I opened up the paper and there was my photograph of Falling Man. It was a very brave thing for them to use that picture. It was the only picture that was like that of anybody falling from the building, the only picture that showed any kind of human interaction like that. A paper in Allentown, Pennsylvania used the picture and they put it on their whole back page in the newspaper, and then the editor said that it was that important to photograph, and he got a lot of mail, letters to the editor saying, you shouldn't have run this, this is not something I want my children to see. Tom Janot, the author of the Esquire article, he's the one who came up with the name, The Falling Man. That was the name of the article, and it sort of stuck. I've never regretted taking that photograph at all. It's probably one of the only photographs that actually shows someone dying that day. We have a terrorist attack on our own soil, and we still don't see pictures of our people dying, and this is a photograph of someone dying.
Because I was here in America on September 11th, I just started thinking people are going to feel vulnerable, first time in a long time. What can I do?
I feel like I'm running for mayor. Oh, let it be.
I grew up in the shadow of World War II. You saw how they dealt with it, and it was with humor. It was with music. That's how they dealt with it.
Let it be. Let it be, America.
Let us be lovers, we'll marry our fortunes together. I've got some real estate here in my bag. So we bought a pack of cigarettes, Mrs. Wagner's pies, and walked off to look for America. Kathy, I said, as we boarded a Greyhound in Pittsburgh, Michigan seems like a dream to me now. It took me 4 days to hitchhike from Saginaw. I've come to look for America. Laughing on the bus, playing games with the faces, she said, man in the gabardine suit was a spy. I said, be careful, his bow tie is really a camera. Toss me a cigarette, I think there's one in my raincoat. She said, we smoked the last one an hour ago. So I gazed at the scenery. She read her magazine, and the moon rose over an open field. Kathy, I'm lost, I said, though I knew she was sleeping. I'm empty and aching, and I don't know why. Counting the cars on the New Jersey Turnpike, they've all come to look for America. They've all come to look for America. All come to look for America. Hi, friends. Hi, fellow New Yorkers. I'd particularly like to say hello to the folks from my local ladder. You know where you are. It's, I must say, it's an absolute privilege to play for you tonight.